What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Tuesday, February 28th. It's not a leap year, so this is it for February. We got today. Tomorrow is March 1st. Tomorrow begins one of the greatest months, if not the greatest month, on the entire sports calendar. I've been saying this now for 14 years. March is absolutely one of the best months. It's right there with October. Or maybe I should say October is right there with March. Because in March, we got the NCAA basketball tournament and Selection Sunday itself. That's awesome. The first two rounds of the tournament, you've got games, and games, and they're all day long. I love afternoon action. Some of the best days of the year. We got spring training. That's in full swing in March. So I got baseball games on my TV and my laptop and my phone any afternoon I want. We got the World Baseball Classic happening this year, and that's in our own backyard. In Little Havana, some people may even be parking in people's backyards. No blocky. Or if you're parking in the backyard, I guess you're part of the blocky situation. But we got the World Baseball Classic going on. That'll be starting up in less than 2 weeks. We've got the NBA and NHL seasons in their stretch runs headed towards playoff time. So it's just really great. March is awesome. February, especially the middle of it, is that pivot point. Super Bowl, we get towards the middle of February now. So we go from football season to the realization that there's not going to be another real football game that we want to watch until September. I know you've got XFL stuff and USFL. I don't know. I'm not watching them. You got to be a real degenerate to be watching those games. Because the only reason you're watching those games is because you're betting on them. Why else would you watch one of those games? Any of you call your friends over to your house on, I don't even know what days these games are on, Saturday or Sunday? Hey, Johnny, come on over. Maria, come on over. If you're telling Maria to come on over, it's probably for something different, right? At least for me. But, hey, Jimmy, Johnny, Paul, Max, come on over. We're going to watch the XFL game today. And you have no money on it, please. I don't think any one of you have done that. Like, even when the XFL existed many years ago, I don't think anybody did that. Oh, come on over. We got to watch the XFL game. And again, you've got zero money on it. You don't have a family member on the team. You don't have money on it. You just call your friends over and say, yeah, let's watch an XFL game or a USFL game or whatever league. Remember the whole NFL Europe thing? Like, another league, you didn't call anybody over for that. You're only calling people over and having people at your house or going out to a bar or restaurant to watch a game if it's college football or the NFL. That's it. Football-wise, of course, you do it for other sports, but football-wise, college football, NFL, and that's the end of it. So we're not going to get one of those games until, what, another 6 months? It's a long time, 6 months. But I'm okay. It's not like I'm going to have an issue here. Oh, my God, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to do? What am I going to watch? No, of course not. I've got baseball to watch. I've got hockey to watch. I've got basketball to watch. I've got 90 Day Fiance to watch. So I'm definitely going to be keeping myself busy. And sports-wise, yes. 90 Day Fiance, not so much sports. But I just laugh at these guys who give these people all this money and they send it internationally and then they get on 14-hour flights to go somewhere. Oh, yeah, she's going to meet me here. She told me she loves me. She's going to meet me here. Where is she? I've been waiting here for 4 hours. She's not here yet. Maybe if I wait another hour, she's going to come. It's, to me, I scream at my television, like, hello, what are you doing? Just come here to Medellin and have a great time. Look at all of the great views. Girls, 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 girls. And stop sending money to the love of your life on the internet, who is probably a dude with a keyboard in front of him, like just stealing your money. And maybe there's some of you in this audience that have done that. So use that as advice. Don't do it anymore. No, but Andy, she loves me. She loves me. How many times have you been together? Well, we haven't met yet. How long have you been talking to her? 5 years? Well, at least you've done FaceTime, right? Well, no, because her phone is broken. The signal... Oh, I've heard this before. On 90 Day Fiancé, I've heard this before. I haven't heard that from friends before. And look, that conversation is probably a lot more interesting to a lot of you than talking about the Marlins spring training games. I'd assume that's a more interesting conversation. I'm not breaking down Marlins spring training games. Don't worry about it, unless something really big happens. But the pitch clock, that's going to change our viewing experience. And there's something else I thought about when it comes to the pitch clock, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. I'm just excited that tomorrow is March. When you've got a horse in the race in March, and I'm not talking about a horse just at Gulfstream Park, like I've got a horse in the race here in March. When it comes to March Madness, my horse in the race is the University of Miami. Their men's hoops team, they're my horse. So I've got an extra eye on Jim Larrañaga's Canes. I think they're good enough to go all the way, especially in this wacky year where we don't really have a dominant team. Normally, we're talking about UNC, Duke, you know, the Blue Bloods. I know you got KU and some other teams, but the Blue Bloods, they're down this year. So I really feel that the University of Miami basketball team has a shot. And that's why my buddy put, while he was in Vegas, $1,000 on UM to win the title. He put that wager in about 2 weeks ago, 75-1, pretty good odds. And I got half of the ticket. So I'm in for a nickel, $37,500. I like my chances. And then come Elite Eight time, there's going to be some hedging going on so I can guarantee myself some winnings. So when you've got a horse in the race in March Madness, it makes it that much more fun. A lot of you, what you'll do is the brackets. The last couple of years, I didn't even do brackets. I just purchased a ticket. To me, that was better than doing brackets. Plus, I was never good at the whole bracket thing. So that's probably the main reason I didn't do it. And I'm just looking here on DraftKings because the Hard Rock Sportsbook app, you can't use it in Florida yet. Although I'm not in Florida right now, but the app, it won't come up itself. I'd have to go on my computer and do it. I'm looking at the odds to win the title in college basketball. And right now on DraftKings, UM is 40-1. So I got them 2 weeks ago at 75-1. Right now they're 40-1. And for those of you in the Boca area or you're rooting for FAU, look, I'm rooting for FAU too. Maybe there'll be some Cinderella story. What they've done already this year is unreal. It's just great. It's great for the university. It's great for Boca Raton. They are 200-1 to win the national championship. I said weeks ago, look, they're a great story, but would I put $500 on FAU to win the championship? No, I wouldn't. You know, on this show, I'm always all about honesty. I'm rooting for them. Heck, I hope it's UM against FAU. I would like my chances better. for the title game. But, I mean, FAU is a great story. They're playing excellent basketball. They deserve all of the recognition. But to be a legit national championship contender, that's a different story. I'm not delusional. I don't think FAU fans are delusional. This kind of reminds me, I bring this up probably every March Madness, and I know we're still in February, but tomorrow's March. Maybe I'll wait till tomorrow to bring it up. No, why would I do that? This conversation always reminds me of when, I don't know how many years ago this was, but when FIU hired Isaiah Thomas. Remember that? It was funny. Like, what are they doing? They're hiring Isaiah Thomas to be their head coach. What are they really expecting to do? So I brought on the then athletic director, Pete Garcia. And this was in my first few years of having a show. So it's not like my questions were how they are now, very direct and to the point. Back then, I was still learning everything. Everything was new to me. But I brought on Pete Garcia, and I asked him, it probably took a lot of words. I have the audio, actually. I'll play the audio for you here in a second. I asked him what he was trying to get to by bringing Isaiah Thomas to be the head basketball coach at FIU, because I want a realistic answer. So here's the audio. You take a listen to it. And once again, the reason I'm bringing this up right now is because I told you, look, I'm rooting for FAU. I think it would be fantastic if they were a Cinderella story, but I'm realistic. The University of Miami, they got a legitimate shot. FAU to win the national championship, they don't. Not to take anything away from them, but again, just being real. So here's the audio of when I asked Pete Garcia many, many years ago why they brought Isaiah Thomas to be the head basketball coach at FIU.
This is like a flashback.
Pete, let me ask you this. With the basketball team, you hire Isaiah Thomas to be FIU's head coach there. Where do you see this team going? What are you guys trying to do? Are you trying to just to get to the top of the Sun Belt, kind of be like a team like Western Kentucky that'll get in
Isaiah Thomas did not take this job to win the Sun Belt Conference. With all due respect to our conference, and obviously you got to walk before you can run, but Isaiah Thomas took this job to build a national championship contender.
That was just ridiculous. And again, that was my very early years of having the show, so I wasn't extremely direct with my question, but I got the point across. I said too many words, and he cut me off. Like, how dare you just win the Sun Belt? How dare you? Whoa. What are you talking about? I mean, please. I think at the time when he was saying that, what you just heard, I believe I was working with the amigo, Larry Million, and I was there in the studio, and I had a cough button. We all have cough buttons, or at least you're supposed to. So you hold the cough button down, and it turns the mic off for just the amount of time you're holding the button down. And I started laughing when Pete Garcia said that. So I held the cough button down to my recollection. Not long, but I held it down because I didn't want to have him hear me laugh. Although, again, this was my early years of being on the air. Today, if I had that question directly and he said that answer, like the same situation, same answer, if I was laughing, like even just a little bit, I wouldn't hold the cough button down. I really wouldn't. I would be like, come on, like, you can't really believe that. I would challenge him on that. But now I'm many years in. I mean, April will be 15 years of doing this show. So things are a lot different. It's like when I interviewed O.J. Simpson at the Kendall Ale House and had him on the air right before he went to jail in Nevada. You know, questions would be a lot different nowadays. Anyhow, I have a lot to get to about not what happened 10 to 15 years ago, but about what's happened this week, and in particular, what happened last night. But I can't get to any of that conversation until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
last night. Did the Miami Heat need that or what? My gosh. I felt what happened last night was really important to this team. I don't feel like last night was just one of 82. This Heat team had lost four games in a row. They lost their first two games since they acquired Kevin Love and Cody Zeller. This Heat team was reeling going into last night. Jimmy Butler, he had come out. I talked about it yesterday. He made some comments. He basically said, I'm sick of losing, and we need to figure this out.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
That's kind of what Jimmy said the other day. He said, we got to figure it out right now. And last night, Jimmy, he talked it and he walked it. The Miami Heat, they picked up a gutsy W in Philadelphia. James Harden shot a three at the buzzer. It was no good. The Miami Heat win. The losing streak, it is gone. And these two teams, they get to meet again tomorrow night. And I will say this much. Watching that game last night, in terms of a possible playoff matchup, and I know the Miami Heat are a long way away. A lot can happen over the next 20 games. But in terms of one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, I would say the Miami Heat would not mind seeing the Philadelphia 76ers in a series. I think Philly fits the bill for the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler is not afraid of Joel Embiid and James Harden. To me, the Heat match up really well with the Sixers. And Miami beat them last year on their home floor. Milwaukee, that's a bad matchup for Miami. Boston, that's a bad matchup for not just Miami, but everyone. The Philadelphia 76ers, if the Heat are somehow able to draw them, I'd feel a lot better about it. As not only a fan, I'd feel a lot better about it if I was their head coach, Eric Spoelstra. I think Spo would like that. The Miami Heat really do have a chance here. I know yesterday it may have sounded like they've got no chance of getting a top six seed. They're going to be in the play-in tournament. They do have a chance here. You got 20 games remaining. If the Miami Heat really were to take off here in their last 20, they could pretty much make those first 61 games irrelevant. I don't think it will necessarily happen because that's a lot to ask for. It's such an uphill climb for them. But the reason I say that it really could happen is because when you look at the makeup of this team right now, they're totally different. Right now, you got Kevin Love as the starting four. You've got Caleb Martin and Cody Zeller coming off of the bench. So the rotations are different for them right now, and so are the expectations. It's just a different team. What they have now, I would think, is more consistent with the vision that Spo had for this team at the beginning of the season. The Heat's problem, a big problem this year, it's been their three-point shooting. All season long, it's been so frustrating. And it's not like they're taking bad shots. The Miami Heat run a good offense. I mean, these guys are getting good looks. And all year, they're shooting in the low 30s instead of what could be the, or should be, the high 30s. Now, you might think low 30s, high 30s, is it that big of a difference? Well, I think it is for a team that's in a close game nearly every single night. When you're in a close game, a couple of threes here or there, that's the difference between having a really good season and a really bad season, when you think about it. Last night, Jimmy Butler, he was that dude. He had that one bucket against Joel Embiid where he scooped it under the basket. And you know I love a
Slater's scoop.
Well, yes, a Jimmy scoop too. See, that is the Jimmy Butler that shouted out after the game, remember, Tobias Harris over me? That is the Jimmy that we tend to see against the 76ers. And that's why, it's just part of the reason why I would really like the Heat matching up with them come playoff time. Last night, Bam, he wasn't that good. Most of the night, he wasn't, at least offensively. The shots he was making with ease before the All-Star break, they haven't been falling for him. Not just last night, but the last few games. But to his credit, he was able to shake it off, and he made a key defensive stop, a great contest on Joel Embiid. And the reason that happens is because that's just Bam. His defense never suffers regardless of what he's doing on the other end. And then another part that I really like about the Heat now with them acquiring Kevin Love, I know it's not a sexy skill, but Kevin Love's outlet passes, they're nuts. It's what he's known for. Kevin Love gets a rebound, and if a dude is running down the court, Love can hit him in stride. Sometimes it's one of those chest passes. Sometimes it's a bounce pass. Sometimes it's over his head. But the dude has such a knack for delivering a good ball. That is a really big asset for this Heat team. When you're able to turn defense into immediate offense, that is so valuable. And that's what Kevin Love is bringing to this roster. And that's going to help the Heat tremendously. When it's said and done, maybe 25 years from now, if somebody mentions Kevin Love, I think it'll be those passes that he makes. That's going to be Kevin Love's basketball legacy. So the whole thing here with the Heat is, can they get the momentum? Can they go on a run? There have been many times this season where you feel like, okay, the Heat, now they're going to go on a run, and they don't. This is a different team now. And tomorrow night is going to be a great test. Will they be able to build some momentum with that win from last night? You've got the same opponent. You've got a different location. But it's a big test. Can the Miami Heat play with that same edge and the same desperation that they played with yesterday? Because that was the best version of the Heat that we might have seen all season. Can they do it again? Because if they can, well, maybe they might have found something. All that losing that was going on, maybe they found something. It's kind of crazy when you think about how it's such a make or miss league. Because here I am talking about the Heat playing so well last night, getting that W, and hopefully having some momentum now. But what if James Harden, a future Hall of Famer, what if he hits that three? If he hits that three, I'm doing a totally different show. I'm doing the Heat have lost five straight show, and they wasted a great game by Jimmy Butler. But James Harden didn't make that three. He misses, and suddenly the fever has broken, and Heat fans are feeling like everything's going to be okay, and they're back. It's a make-or-miss league. It's amazing how one jumper can change an entire perspective. So now confidence has returned to Miami Heat Nation. 20 games remaining. A lot can happen. Hopefully a lot of W's. Just like, hopefully, you'll get a lot of W's when you head to Gulfstream Park. The championship meet is happening right now at Gulfstream Park. Live racing Wednesday through Sunday. I love going to Gulfstream Park. And when I go there, I go to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms. I get a table. I sit down, have a fantastic meal. I watch the races live right in front of me. I wager on them because, of course, you know me, I like to wager. And I just have a great afternoon at Gulfstream Park. I highly suggest going to Gulfstream Park on a live race day, any Wednesday through Sunday. And this Sunday, there's a mandatory payout on their pick six. We could be looking at about $8 or $9 million up for grabs. Just a 20-cent wager, too. So I'm going to keep my eyes on that during the week, and I'll update you come Thursday. And Friday, it's the championship meet, the best of the best that's happening in our own backyard in Hollandale Beach right now at Gulfstream Park. 2 weeks from today, that is my next poker tournament. The Slater Scoops Poker Tournament now takes place at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Tuesday night, March 14th. At least $10,000 will be in the prize pool. It's just $150 to buy in. And if you happen to get lucky and knock me out of my own tournament, not only will you get all of my chips, but I'm going to give you two seats on the glass to go see the Florida Panthers. And it comes with free food and drink, great lounge access. That's all thanks to the Workers' Comp Legal Center. You do not want to miss my poker tournament. Now it takes place at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood in their poker room. The next one coming up Tuesday night, March 14th. You could register early. You could register when it starts at 6 p.m. Or if you're working late, once you get out of work, you could register up until 8:45 p.m. Tuesday night, March 14th. 10 grand. That is the minimum amount of money in the prize pool. I hope to see you there. The Slater Scoops Poker Tournament, Tuesday night, March 14th at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I love playing poker. I play a lot of poker all over the world. I have a lot of patience when it comes to poker. I'm not in a rush, so I really enjoy the game. Now, there's another game that I also enjoy where apparently a lot of people are in a rush, at least over the last 5 to 10 years, and that would be baseball. Fans, players, everyone's in a rush. We got to get this game over with. So Major League Baseball tested this out for quite some time, and now it's being implemented in the big leagues, the pitch clock. And you guys have heard about the pitch clock now. I'm not totally against the pitch clock. I had no problem without a pitch clock, but I'm not against it. It's definitely the story of spring training so far, and it should be, because think about it. How often do we get fundamental changes implemented to a sport where it's going to have an impact on essentially every single play? And in baseball, that would be every single pitch. And now with that clock, as long as that clock is going, every single pitch is going to be impacted. And for modern fans, it's a good thing. I have no problem with it, but I didn't have a problem before a pitch clock. It's funny. One thing I have not heard, which I usually hear anytime someone tries to change at least baseball, you try to change baseball in any way, what I usually hear from people who call themselves purists, and I'll get emails and DMs and Twitter messages, I always hear baseball is a game of history. If you make a big change with this game, you are altering history. How can you compare 40 homers without a pitch clock to 40 homers with a pitch clock? Baseball needs consistency to keep history relevant. That's always been the argument. But I haven't heard that this time around. I thought I would. Maybe only because it's spring training. But with this pitch clock, the only pushback that I think I've heard, it's about games being decided by it or a critical moment. Like in a very important moment, a batter steps out and suddenly is penalized and gets a strike, and that decides the game. I don't think anyone wants that. I don't think we're really going to get that. It's spring training. Umpires are trying to make a point right now, like, hey, you got to take it this seriously because this could happen. I don't think it would happen. We need an adjustment period, and I think that's what we're going to get. There will be a period of time, and I think it will mainly happen all of this spring and then early on in the season, where dudes are just going to be figuring this out. So there's going to be violations. And some of those violations will be in important moments. But over time, I don't think that's going to happen because this is all just going to become second nature. We're all going to get used to it. Players are going to get used to it. It's just going to become something normal. There is a random thought I had about this pitch clock, though, and speeding up the game. Let's suppose that last season, let's just suppose the average game was anywhere between 3 hours and 3 hours and 10 minutes. Let's just say that. Let's say with the pitch clock, the game gets down to, and I'll be conservative, let's say with the pitch clock, the average game goes to 2 hours and 40 minutes. So let's just suppose with the pitch clock, we're now seeing a baseball game that's 20 to 30 minutes quicker. What does that do to the revenue at ballparks? Does that cut the revenue at ballparks? If you've got fans at the ballpark for 20 to 30 minutes less every time, that's fewer hot dogs, isn't it? That's less beer. That's less merchandise being sold. I don't know. I just thought about that. Revenue-wise, it has to cut it down. It's not like you're starting the games earlier. This isn't the whole, oh, we're going from 7:10 to 6:40. No, we're actually cutting 20 to 30 minutes off of a game. Just, I'm guessing that would be the average. Is that a smart move for revenue? It's like at a casino. You go to a casino. What's the goal of the casino? The way everything is structured at a casino, there's no clocks. You have a lot of excitement. You have food options everywhere. The goal is to keep you there, because the longer you are there, the more you're going to play. Well, at ballparks, the longer you're there, the more hungry or thirsty you're going to get. And that means the more you're going to spend. So I'm curious to see what the actual revenue at the ballparks will be compared to what they've been when you've got a shorter game. Now, for a fan, you don't care about the revenue. You're like, hey, that's better. I'm spending less money. But I'm sure CEOs care about that. I just wonder how it's going to impact team revenues. The time that is lost, I mean, the reason I'm good with the fundamental change to baseball and I'm fine with the pitch clock is because the 20 or 30 minutes that the game will be sped up, it's not going to be critical time that we're getting rid of. We're just getting rid of the fat. We're not getting rid of game action. It's 20 to 30 minutes of pitchers walking around, talking to themselves, batters stepping out of the box. It's not something that we're going to really miss. So by lowering the game times from a viewing perspective, without taking any of the action out, we're just trimming that fat. We're getting rid of the waste and leaving the fans with just the stuff that they like. And that's pitchers getting the ball and throwing it, and batters standing in the box and taking their hacks. That's it. That's what we're going to get. And I think it's going to be a huge advantage to base runners. I think steals are going to skyrocket. Fantasy league managers, all these new rules probably going to lead to more steals. They got bigger bases now, so it's easier to steal. Fewer throws to first, more opportunities to steal. And the pitch clock, knowing when a pitcher has to throw home. Imagine what Vince Coleman or Ricky Henderson would have done with that info. So I expect the best base stealers to go wild this year. And I'm sure catchers are going to be super frustrated by all of it. Speaking of frustration, if you're frustrated for whatever reason, here's my advice. Head on over to Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, where you'll be surrounded by gorgeous girls, 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 girls. Dean's Gold is the ultimate gentleman's club for a reason. That's because the beautiful ladies at Dean's Gold that you'll be surrounded by, they come from all over the world. so many different countries are represented at Dean's Gold, you will have yourself an incredible time. And for those of you that have been to Dean's Gold already, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, is open every single day from 8 p.m. all the way until 6 in the morning. Get in the car and head on over to Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club. They're located on the northeast corner of Northeast 163rd Street and Biscayne Boulevard. That's in North Miami Beach. Have yourself a great night or even early morning. Surround yourself with beautiful ladies who come from all over the world. There's only one place in South Florida you could do that. Only one building. It is the ultimate gentleman's club, Dean's Gold. So I brought up the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, a great win last night in Philadelphia. That Jimmy scoop, that was something else. So hopefully the Heat can get some momentum here and get another victory against the Sixers tomorrow night. That one will be at the Miami-Dade Arena. Will the other team that's playing right now, though, in games that mean something, will they be able to do anything in their last 20 contests or so? And that would be the Florida Panthers. It's just been so disappointing. So tonight, they get to face the Tampa Bay Lightning. Lucky them. No Barkov and no Sam Bennett. But this is the Panthers' only road game in this long stretch that they've got coming up where they don't leave the state of Florida. So it's a road game, but they still stay in the state. The Tampa Bay Lightning, we know the rivalry between these two teams, and any opportunity to beat Tampa, it should be huge for the Panthers. Right now, this is a Panthers team that is seeking a springboard. This is a great opportunity. It stinks that Barkov and Bennett won't be in the lineup tonight. But they got to do something. This team's got to do something. Because right now, when you look at the NHL standings, which I don't know if a lot of you do, you might just tune in here and say, oh, I'll hear Andy's update every now and then on the Panthers. Well, here it is. The Panthers, realistically, they're probably sixth, in the wild card. And the top two wild card spots get in. So one and two get in, and that's it. No play-in tournament like the NBA, none of that. One and two get in, and if you're not one and two in the wild card, obviously top three in the division get in, which the Panthers are nowhere near. But if you're not top two in the wild card, well, then you're going to sit at home. And the Panthers did that for many, many, many years. But last year, they had 122 points. They got that President's Trophy. 122 points. This year, they may have 37 or 38 points less, which is horrific. That's one of the worst drop-offs in NHL history. The Philadelphia Flyers, about 17 or 18 years ago, something in that range, maybe 15 years ago, they had a 45-point drop in an 82-game season. The Panthers won't have a 45-point drop, but it's going to be pretty significant. And it stinks. It's crazy how sports work, though, because last year everything came so easy for them during the regular season. They were a juggernaut. I mean, they came back all the time in their games, but it was like so easy for them to do. Yeah, we're down 4-1. No problem. This is easy work. They were the cardiac cats. Very, very easy. You would watch their games and you would never worry if they were down in it because you knew they were coming back. This year, nothing's been easy for them. And they have a lot of the same players. Yeah, they traded Huberdeau, but they got a better player back. In Matthew Tkachuk, nothing is clicking for them. There's still time, kind of like the Heat have time to get their act together. But so far, it's just been bad. They haven't been able to put some big streak together, at least with W's, I mean, with L's they have. Now they have a long stretch of home games. Yes, they're playing at Tampa tonight, but then they got a very long stretch of home games. The last home game they just had, they laid an egg. Can't have that. This is always a tough matchup for them against Tampa, but if they do get that W, it could be so rewarding. Just like the Heat getting a W in Philadelphia, make that rewarding. Turn around tomorrow night and beat them again. The Panthers can get the same reward. Get that W on the road, come back home, and put something together. There's still time, but nothing, again, just like the Heat, nothing this year has had any consistency to it. The only consistent thing the Heat and Panthers have done is be inconsistent. They're consistently inconsistent, if that makes sense. I think you get my point. Just like you should get my point when I tell you if you need dental work done, to go to the Costa Rica Dental Team. The Costa Rica Dental Team will save you a fortune when compared to U.S. dental prices. I'm talking 50 to 70% savings. I have been to the Costa Rica Dental Team many times myself, so I can tell you firsthand, the work and the staff at the Costa Rica Dental Team, absolutely top-notch. Maybe you need veneers, implants, crowns, whatever dental work you need done, the Costa Rica Dental Team will save you so much money, and you'll be so happy the way your mouth and teeth look. So now it's time for you to check them out. Visit CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. That's CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. Inquire about their pricing, and then you could start planning your Costa Rica dental vacation later today. The NFL season has been over for too long now, it seems, right? And we don't get another real game until September. However, we all know that it's going to be a very busy offseason, and it's already started with all the reports and rumors, and I like how the NFL offseason happens now as compared to many years ago, where there was never movement with big, big names and trades especially. And look, the Dolphins, they're going to be right in the middle of all of it. So I don't have a lot more time right now this hour because I spoke a lot and I gave you long segments, but I'll get more into the NFL transactions in the coming weeks. All right, that's all the time I got for this Tuesday afternoon. Enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.